Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 1:30 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is November 12th. Well, when we look at shares like Beyond Meat, it has really pulled back really quite sharply over the course of the last 3 or 4 months. It's one of the few really impressive performers straight off the IPO price, and it's still above the IPO price, but it has also been one of the most heavily shorted shares in the world, and all of the available shares for shorting have been borrowed for months now. So there are some significant short sellers with profits out there. What's also particularly interesting is the rather mercenary way in which Travis Kalanick has sold $500 million worth of Uber shares on the first opportunity immediately after the lockup expired yesterday, and the share was in negative territory again today. That is also putting downward pressure on Lyft, and Lyft is actually down more since its IPO than Uber is, but it's still a marginal business. Another is Grubhub. This is one of the newer batch of shares that is being heavily shorted. And we can, for example, look at the extent of the decline from the peak in the third quarter of 2018 down to the massive acceleration we had 3 weeks ago. Perhaps we're at an important low, but the problem is that this delivery business model is becoming progressively more competitive. And Amazon is beginning to include Amazon Fresh in its offerings. Now, that's quite a significant value proposition because food delivery costs money. That's particularly true for Ocado in the UK. This is a company that is priced for perfection, and the fact that Amazon is clearly attempting to compete with it on food delivery is resulting in these very large downward dynamics over the last 2 weeks. And this has type 2 top formation characteristics. It's now trading below the trend mean by a wider margin than it has at any point over the course of the last 2 years. It looks like top formation. I should put the word completion on the end of that sentence. Top formation completion. When we then think about what's going on in terms of obviously Amazon is compressing the business available to the food delivery systems. Google, on the other hand, is compressing the market opportunity available to some of the travel agents. Expedia was originally a disruptor, and it rallied spectacularly between approximately 2010 and 2017. Now we have ranging, we have time, and we have size. This has been an enormous range all the way from 2015. We have failed upside breaks, we have massive downward dynamics, and now it's breaking on the downside. The share has to get back above $100 in a very quick manner if we're going to see a return to demand dominance. What's particularly interesting about bookings is it has held up better, and it doesn't rely on Google quite the same way to attract inward traffic. They've spent much more of their time trying to build name recognition for booking.com, and that has translated into a better performance overall, but nevertheless, the share is right in the region of the trend mean. Then let's think about the competition we're seeing in streaming. And I think if we start to join the dots, we're seeing a competition arising in a significant number of the sectors that have emerged over the course of the last decade. Netflix accelerated to its peak back in the middle of 2018, and it's been subject to really quite incredible volatility since then. Now, the question is whether it can hold that low around $250. Because if it fails at that level, then we are talking about a top that it may not be able to recover from. Of course, one of the new interlopers in the streaming sector is Disney. I think one of the more important points about Disney is that if we look at the long-term chart, it is prone to really quite acute cyclicality. If we think about the period between approximately 1998 and 2012, then the share had been confined to an incredibly volatile range where the peak, or well, let's think about the other way, the trough to peak swing was well in excess of 100%. It then broke out and rallied really quite spectacularly, and then went into another really very lengthy range. Now, with the adoption of a streaming service, not only are they deploying a direct-to-consumer model, which is very techy in nature, but it's also trying to adopt a subscription business model. And that is something that, if we look at what it has done for other businesses, it has smoothed out their cash flows. Everybody right now is talking about Disney Plus, but what is less remarked on is that Disney also now fully owns Hulu. I took out a subscription to Hulu 2 nights ago, and I find it to be absolutely superior to what's being offered on Netflix. And I think for 2 nights in a row, my wife and I have watched television for probably the first time in about 3 years. What that tells me, at least, is that Disney does have a longer-term way of thinking about this market. And the price action is suggestive that we have just seen a completion of a medium-term range. It has just found support in the region of the trend mean, and this continues to look like an uptrend. But of course, it is taking the lunch from a number of the emerging companies that had been pioneering streaming. So there's a story here that it is the big established companies, the companies with global franchises, with strong balance sheets, and the ability to deploy capital to take on and beat some of the upstarts are starting to benefit here. And that is very much in tune with the rationale behind investing in autonomies in the first place, that capitalism trends towards consolidation, and the ability of these incredibly large companies to move in force to capture market opportunities can't be underestimated. Google is already at a new high, and it was off its lows in here today. I think we are looking at a breakout from this almost 2-year range, and that was a necessary event if this wasn't going to be a top formation. So this is really quite impressive action. Now, then when we think about what's going on in the commodities sector, gold prices today were steady around the $1,450 area. This is around where they found support back at the beginning of October. I really do think that this has been a very steady period of consolidation for gold. It's really quite out of character. Generally, gold tends to be very volatile. We have had a pullback over the course of the last week, and it has been jarring for investors unaccustomed to the kind of volatility that gold is capable of putting in. We do now have a short-term oversold condition. There is the scope here for some steadying. I do, however, think it is likely we are going to see a full reversion back to the mean before we see a return to demand dominance. There is a very clear rationale for why anybody would be interested in gold, and it is that we are entering a period where we are looking at synchronized global monetary and fiscal stimulus. In other words, the monetary and fiscal authorities are printing and spending as if money were going out of fashion. It is, in many respects, a panicky response to the rise of populism. Populism is increasing the world over for a simple reason. We are living with the repercussions of the decision to embrace globalization approximately 30 to 40 years ago, but it went into overdrive at the beginning of the 2000s when China was admitted to the World Trade Organization. From that point, the erosion of manufacturing bases in the USA and Europe went into overdrive, and we lost millions of jobs. The problem is that the kind of jobs that were lost were high-paying jobs. Manufacturing tends to be one of the best-paid jobs around. I will give you an example. My eldest brother was not as academic as some of the rest of us in the family. He works in a factory. And what he's earning surprised my youngest brother, who's just graduated college as a music graduate. Well, he might be gifted in music, but when he heard what my brother was making working on a conveyor belt, he was agog that that's what a manufacturing worker can earn, particularly when you've been on the job for a few years. This is something that I think many people don't pay attention to, that a lot of the jobs that have replaced these manufacturing jobs that have gone overseas have been extremely low paid. The hospitality sector in particular, which has experienced massive growth in employment, or indeed warehouse workers, they just don't tend to be paid as well. Now, it's not as if the work is any less difficult, but the fact of the matter is that they simply just do not get paid as well. Well, that is one of the primary reasons we're getting a populist uprising, that the number of draws on people's monthly income continue to increase, but their ability to fund those has not. And until that mismatch is corrected, then we're going to continue to see not only the rise of populism, but the panicky response to it, which is simply to print and spend. And that suggests that we are on the cusp of inflation. Regardless of how it is being defined, the purchasing power of fiat currencies is under threat as a result of these actions, and that is a powerful tailwind for gold over the medium term. That doesn't mean that gold can't range. And often it can range for weeks or months, potentially even years. But as long as it is holding the upward bias, we're still in a bull market environment. What I found particularly interesting in here today was that copper prices did not rally. We've had some really quite incredible volatility in Chile, and Codelco announced today that its workers have downed tools. That is potentially going to remove a substantial source of supply from the market, and yet copper prices are pulling back from the region of the trend mean, even as the Chilean peso is breaking down to new lows. This has clearly been an accelerated move in terms of the peso, and the Chilean stock market has also been accelerating on the downside. Again, this is as a direct response to the rise of populism and these popular protests, which have seen the president resign and a promise of a new constitution fail to quell the rise of these protests. We can certainly see that there is an oversold condition, so there is potential for some pause and consolidation here, and the price is down pretty spectacularly over just the course of four consecutive weeks. But it has got a lot of work to do to break that downtrend, and a period of support building is probably required. Now, if we then think about how are some of the other regional currencies performing. Well, The dollar rallied pretty impressively against the real in Brazil last week, and it is now right in the region of the lows for the real over the course of the last 5 years. A clear and sustained move below four is going to be required to question potential that we're not going to see the real breaking lower. The fact that Lula da Silva is out of prison, he is barred from running in an election, but that doesn't mean that he can't be a figurehead to help other people to get elected. What's also, I think, rather interesting is the continued inability of the Mexican peso to break its downtrend. We have a clear succession of higher reaction lows here for the US dollar. There is also this succession of lower rally highs for the dollar. So we have this emerging triangular pattern. Well, the one thing we know about these kinds of patterns is when they break, they tend to break in a very explosive manner. And I rather suspect that Mexico is at risk of a further deterioration, not least because of commonality with the other Latin American currencies. If we stick with commodity currencies, the Australian dollar has been pulling back from the region of the trend mean. There has been certainly a rebound over the course of the last few weeks, but it definitely needs to do more than that. The New Zealand dollar is also pulling back from the upper side of that overhead trading range, hasn't been able to push back above the 65 cent level. The South African rand has been quite volatile over the course of the last while, but I think there is quite clear that there is still an upward bias to dollar trading, and the dollar continues to firm from the region of that trend mean. When we then think about the euro, the Europeans want a weaker currency, and they seem to be willing to continue to print, and the currency is pulling back again from the region of the trend mean, and it has done that on multiple occasions over the course of the last while. Well, what that suggests is Europe is becoming increasingly active in supporting asset prices. The Euro Stoxx index is back up to the 400-point level. There's a short-term overbought condition, but it has been ranging below this level now for the better part of 5 years, and I think there is potential that we're going to see a break on the upside. The French market has also broken up and away from that 5,500 level, and this is closing in on the peaks that were put in back in 2000 and again in 2007. When we then think about what's going on in the UK, I think it's accurate to conclude that there are going to be people who are hopping mad at the prospect of Theresa May's deal having been watered down enough to pass Parliament. People are, I think, gravely disappointed at the quality of leadership evident in the UK. People feel like their vote has not been followed through on. At the same time, there are an equal number of people who feel that they would much prefer to be part of the EU and to ditch the entire Brexit question altogether. And what we have in fact got is it is almost like a horse designed by a committee, which is a camel. And I think that is what the Brexit deal is. It has got something for everybody, but it looks nothing like a horse. And the unfortunate problem is that there are going to be a lot of people feel like that the democratic process has not worked for them. And that suggests that there is going to continue to be an increase in political activism, polarization, and that this question is just not going to go away. So the UK is going to continue to print. There is going to continue to be a fiscal stimulus, regardless of who wins. That is likely to continue to boost the stock market. It's likely to represent a tailwind for the pound in the short term. I do think that the UK does not want to see the pound rallying particularly strongly. So the big question now is whether it can sustain a move above the 120 area, but at least it is now firming from the 115 area. That suggests that there is potential for additional upside in the short term, although there are certainly headwinds in the medium term. Then when we think about the dollar index, I think it is worth looking at different ways of calculating that index. The Bloomberg Dollar Spot Index gives less weighting to the euro, more weighting therefore to some of the other trading partners, and it is also bouncing from the region of the trend mean, and there is a mild upward bias to trading over the course of the last 2 years. What it suggests is that there is still scope for the dollar to continue to rally. When we look at the weakness we're seeing in some of the commodity currencies, that does suggest there is scope for a further dollar rally. Then, when we think about the continuous commodity index, the big challenge is going to be in holding the 400-point level, but at least it is steady in this region. That at least also is helping to support oil prices, and oil has been rather stable over the course of the last week. But it has got a significant challenge if it's going to sustain a move above $65. We would have to see a clear agreement in OPEC to further limit supply. Saudi Arabia is obviously very supportive of that particular view because they want to IPO Saudi Aramco. And they are lining up people to give them money for a stake in the company. The big question is what happens after the IPO? Then, of course, we go back to a more normal pricing environment, and the reality is that at this level, the shale drillers may not be drilling additionally, but they can continue to pump and make money around the 60 level. It's when prices drop below at the $55 area on WTI and certainly the $55 area on Brent that people will start to get truly worried about the outlook for the energy sector and by extension the high yield markets. When we think about what's going on in terms of the high yield spread, it has been really very well contained, and it is below the trend mean, and the trend mean has turned downwards, so at least it is not spiking higher. But when we look at the high yield spread for energy, well, then we're presented with a very different picture. And yes, it has paused around the 600 basis point level, but it still looks like an uptrend. That, I think, is a bigger risk. Now, let's then think about what's going on in terms of CLOs. And CLOs have not yet broken higher. This is a yield chart rather than a spread chart. They haven't broken through and above that 10% level yet, but it looks like a first step here. It looks like something that has the potential to push higher. Well, a lot of the higher risk portions of the market are in energy. There's been a huge amount of money lent to the sector to boost supply, but the break-evens are so proximate to where the price is that there are going to be companies run into trouble. And we've already seen what that looks like. Chesapeake Energy was down another 13 cents in here today, but it was at 150 a week ago. And this is a really very considerable decline, and it follows a going concern warning during their earnings call. So this is a company that is a major producer of natural gas, or at least it was once. Natural gas prices had popped on the upside on initial news of colder weather last week and now are coming back down again. But the big number in the front is still a 2. And not so long ago, a year ago, they were closer to 450. So that's almost double where the prices are today. And that's putting a great deal of pressure on some of the higher cost producers. What that suggests is there is ample supply around 450. There is a lot less supply below $3. And that is confining natural gas to a lengthy range. It's also going to create new sources of demand for natural gas over the long term. But we are just not there yet in terms of returning to a demand-dominated environment. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.